Mark chapter 8. The message today is about profit and loss. Mark chapter 8, and I'll start reading at verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And he spake the saying openly. And Peter took him, and began to rebuke him. But he, turning about, and seeing the disciples, rebuked Peter, and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. And he called unto him the multitude with his disciples, and said unto them, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also shall be ashamed of him, for he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, there are no words like the words of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. The ordinary people that heard him speak realized this. Never man spake like this man. They marvel at the words of grace that proceeded out of his mouth. And our Father, we have been aware that his words are not the words of an ordinary man. We are thankful, our God, for the content of those words. At times, he speaks words that inform us of things that we could never know a thing about, of heaven and hell, life and death. And at times, Father, he speaks words of comfort to us. But at times, they are words of warning, and he brings before us the seriousness of life. We are thankful for thy Son, the messenger that you sent from heaven. We rejoice that we have in our hands a record of those things that he taught when he was on earth. And we desire to profit our God from the things that he spoke unto men. So by thy Spirit, impress upon our hearts the power, the gravity of the words spoken by thy Son. And let us listen to the challenge that he gives us, and let us accept it. We pray. Cleanse us from our sins. Empower by thy Spirit, work upon souls. And indeed, our God, for our nation and this world, thy Son said, this adulterous and sinful generation. And our Father, we are aware, because of what exists in the world, that as then, so now, the world is the same. We pray for that world, the world that you so loved that you gave your only begotten Son, and we pray for that world that there might be peace, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and gravity. So, for those that are sick, the world, and especially for the things that are at hand this morning, bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Again, the message today is about a question, a statement that the Lord Jesus spoke that searches out the soul of a man. Last week, he spoke words like this. He said, "How shall you escape the damnation of hell?" And if they thought on it, they would have to answer this way. "We cannot escape the damnation of hell." He asked, "How can you believe?" And had they thought, they would have answered, "We cannot believe." And concerning the rich man and the chains that bound him, the disciples wanted to know, "Who can be saved?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Nobody can. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So the Lord at times asks questions, and he wants them to search our soul, and he doesn't want us to speak out an answer. He wants us to let the answer grip us and cause our lives to change and to get in the right path and follow him and make out of life what God intended life to be. But now, the question that the Savior asked this morning that I read to you, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" God has so constituted man, unless they have the conscience that's seared by a hot iron, he has so constituted man that when he hears the Savior ask those words, "What shall it profit you if you shall gain the whole world and lose your own soul?" the man of necessity must answer, "Nothing." But then there was a second part. He says, "And if this has transpired, if you have lost your own soul, what shall you give in exchange for your soul?" And the answer again is, "Nothing." So there are two questions, and the answer to both the questions is the same. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what profit is there? The answer is nothing. The second question, well, if you have gained the whole world and lost your own soul, what will you give in exchange for your soul? And the answer again is nothing. The question is the most profound that the Savior could possibly ask, because he brings us to the realization of the fact that there is meaning to life. Whether we acknowledge it or reject it, there is meaning to life. And here we are in life, and we undertake things in life. But there is a proper undertaking, and there is a false undertaking. And if you take the wrong way, the end result will be the loss of your own soul. You say, "Well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell." The Savior isn't concerned whether you believe in that or not. He is telling you the truth about life. Some men are here in the world, and with their great minds, they try to understand the meaning of things, and they never can figure it out. But the humble creature of God who will allow the Spirit to speak to him, he understands about life, that he has a maker, and he is responsible to that maker. And what he is doing now is determining whether his life shall be gained or lost, and whether the damage is temporary or whether it is irreparable. And men understand it. I can recall there was a man who was a notorious gambler in Raleigh, and I had known him before I trusted Christ as Savior, and I knew him after I trusted Christ as Savior. And I recall, to this day, speaking the words to him, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And I knew that he was gripped by those words. He could not shake them off. And though he was not prepared to change his life, he knew how profound those words were. Even though he was a sinner, whose life was one of greed, whose life was one of wanting what belonged to another person, and he was prepared to take it by gambling. When those words were spoken to him, he knew those words, and he could not shake them off. And no man can shake off those words, and he cannot shake off the meaning of life, that there is a purpose for God's creatures being down here, and the Lord Jesus is telling us about it in the portion that I read to you. Now, some people are unaware as to what life is about. The rich man in Luke 16 thought that life was dressing in gay clothing, rejoicing, being merry, spending his life in mirth and splendor every day. That is what he thought life was. Let us eat and drink and be merry, because tomorrow we are going to die. But he learned the true meaning of life when he was in hell. He said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he said, "Father Abraham, please send somebody back from the grave to tell my brothers on earth about the meaning of life, lest they come to this place of torment." He learned in hell the meaning of life, whereas God was trying to show him the meaning of life when he was on earth. But if he did not learn until he was in hell, it was too late. And the worst possible place to learn about the meaning of life is in the next life, when you're in hell and nothing can be done about it. And that is when most people, to their horror, discover that there is a God, that we are responsible to that God, we must answer to that God, and the life that we are living is one of profit and gain and loss and wisdom or folly. It is made up of all of these things, depending entirely upon our purpose in life and our understanding of life. So first of all, grasp this, that we are not here with no guidance, with no purpose of our being, but God has a specific purpose from the very first man to the very last man. Understand that. The Savior was aware why he came into the world. Listen to what he says. He said, "I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." The Savior knew that there was a Father in heaven, and that he left heaven and came to earth, not to do what he wanted to do, but what his Father wanted him to do. You say, he knew that. Yes. And he said this. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see, the Lord Jesus knew why he came into the world. Now, do you know why you are here in the world? You say, "Well, did God put me here for a purpose?" He put every man here for a purpose. Listen to what he said to the first man. In discussing man, he said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him and help meet for him." He said, "And this world that I've made, I'm going to create a garden for man, and I'm going to put man in a garden." So God chose what man should be, spirit, soul, and body. He chose the place that he was to reside, and think of the kindness of God. He could have put man in the world as you have seen the world imagining as a Neanderthal man going around in skins and trying to get food any way he could. But that wasn't the way that God made man. In the first place, he made his environment so perfect that he needed no clothing. He neither got hot nor cold. He did not have to eat his bread by the sweat of his brow. But God said, I'm making you a garden. And he said, I'm putting in that garden all the true trees that are pleasant to the sight and good for food. He said, and I planted you a garden. Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to work that garden. The word dress the garden means I want you to work that garden and I want you to keep it. Dress it and keep it. And he said, and another thing. He said, I'm going to come down to see you every day in the cool of the evening and we shall walk together and have fellowship and I will tell you things. Things that you should know as man on earth, and I may tell you some things about heaven as well. And isn't that remarkable? That God had all of these purposes in mind for man when he made him in the first place. So understand this. There is absolutely nothing wrong for man to look at the beautiful things that are in the world. Why? Because it said, before sin came into the world, the food that God made for man, he made it grow on trees. A tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. He did not rain manna down from heaven at the first, but he caused man's food to grow on trees and from a garden. And it was pleasant to look at. So if you look at the world and you see the pleasantness of the sights that God has created, that's what God wants. Don't you understand that he could have made it ugly and unpleasant to look at? He could have made it so that there was no beauty in it at all. But it says that he made it pleasant to the eyes. And he made it so that it was of value and use to man, profitable for food. So think. In the world that God created, he said, I'm making it so that food is yours coming out of the ground. And all you have to do is to go to those trees and pick the fruit off the trees. And all you have to do is to work your garden and pull up anything that you want to eat. And you don't have to do it by the sweat of your brow. You have no worry. You just dress that garden and keep it. And have fellowship with me in the cool of the day. That's what I want you to do. Now that seems like simple enough to understand. You say, yes, but at the first, God had purposes for man in the world. And everything that he needed, he supplied. But what happens is this. That whenever God has a plan for man, there is another being that is called the deceiver, Satan, the evil one, and he will come and try to distort and destroy the plan that God has for man. And in the case of our first parents, he was successful. Has God said that you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? God never said that. He said you can eat of all the trees. There is one tree that's not yours, and then God is holding back something from you. Look, you can be wiser than you are. Do you not understand that there is a tree that if you eat it, you'll become like God? Do you understand that? So here is a message that comes from the world, distorting the meaning of life, distorting the purpose for which God placed man in the world. And what has happened is this, that man has listened to Satan and his philosophy of life, and because of that, the plan that God has for man has been destroyed and lost. And now man is saying, there is no God. Man is saying, is there a God? What is the meaning of life? And so he goes through life in confusion. And now he eats food by the sweat of his brow. And thorns and thistles come forth. And children are born in sorrow. Shalt thou bring forth children? And all of these things or because the first plan that God had for man was rejected. And because of that, then you must follow Satan's plan. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And this is what Adam found, and this is what Eve found, and this is what every man finds. But what he has done is this. Whereas God has a simple will for creatures that are on earth, man has distorted the life that God would have him to live, and instead of having food and raiment, enjoying the good things that God has, what he seeks to do is to gain the whole world at the expense of his soul. Now, let me give you an example. There is nothing wrong with eating food. There is nothing wrong at enjoying and understanding the beauties that are in the world. That's why God made them beautiful. That's why God put food here. But there is such a thing as gluttony, and there is such a thing as the worship of nature. There is such a thing as worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. So the things that God has made beautiful, man makes them into idols. And at the same time, the food that God has given man, man becomes gluttonous, and he makes himself like a beast, like an animal. And God said it's not good for man to be alone, and so he brings man and help meet. And so instead of having, as the Bible says, let each man have his own wife, and let each wife have her own husband, they want more. And he wants this tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. And God says, you have every tree except this one. I reserve that for myself. Why? He said, because I'm God. That's why. You can do anything you want to, except this one thing that I tell you not to do. Now, if we were equal to God, we could do anything we wanted to do. But there must be something that we are forbidden to do because we are creatures and we are finite. And God is God, and he must be obeyed. But man must have what God says you cannot have. Now, it says in the Bible, wine that maketh glad the heart of man. God knew what would happen when man drinks wine. He says it's fine for you to drink wine. But what happens is that man drinks it to excess and becomes a drunkard. And then it says, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And at the same time, God brings a woman or a wife to a man. And it says immediately in the book of Genesis that men chose wives of all that they please. And what is happening now is that we are choosing somebody else's wife. God says, Eve is your wife. And shortly after that, I want your wife, and I want your wife. And so the good thing that God gives a woman for, man turns it into lust and corruption and adultery. And the food he gives man, he turns it into gluttony. And he gives wine to make joyful the heart of man, and he turns it into drunkenness. And all the beautiful things in the world that God put here for us to enjoy, to look upon, and behold their beauty, he turns it into an idol, and he serves the beauty that he sees in the world. Now, the slight change, the variation is this, that there is the food, and by the sweat of our brow, we eat our food, and we thank God for the strength that he gave, that we might bring forth fruit out of the ground. And as we eat that food, we say, thank you, Father. As the Lord Jesus took the loaves and the fishes, and he said, thank you, Father. He gave thanks to God for the food that God gave. But the Bible says that men soon became unthankful. But the Lord Jesus, when he had food, he gave God thanks. And at the same time, when a woman is brought to a man, it says concerning Jacob that he served for 7 years, and they seemed to him as but a few days for the love that he had to her. That is what God wants. and all the beauty that is in the world. I have seen the beauty so often, and I said, you are a God of beauty. You are a God who knows how to paint the earth with colors. You are a God of wisdom. And the only difference is that rather than worshiping the beautiful things that God has made, I have lifted my eyes higher, and I have ascribed to Him the glory. All things are of Thee. And that is what God wants. For us to understand His world, His creation, it is perfectly in order. But now, having said this, grasp that the Lord Jesus, having been sent into the world, He is sent with a mission. And at the same time, you and I being in the world, He has given us a mission. And that mission is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, well, how do I know that? Because the Lord Jesus is calling sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you'll find during His lifetime, He said to Peter and Andrew, follow me. James and John, follow me. To Matthew, He said, you follow me. He is calling men to follow Him. There is another master, Satan, and he says, you follow me, and this is what I'll give you. And the Lord Jesus said, no, follow me, and this is what I will give you. But the reason that Satan is so successful is that what he has is much more pleasant and easy and glorifying to the flesh than what Christ has to give. The Lord Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, who wants to take up a cross? Who wants to suffer? Who wants to deny himself? No one. But the Lord Jesus said, that is your mission in life. I'm telling you the meaning of life. It is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And this is what Satan said. And this is the temptation that he gave to the Savior. He took him to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time. And he said, now if you'll fall down and worship me, he said, I'll give you all these things. And the Lord Jesus dismissed Satan. But what happens is that Satan comes and he offers you the simplest trinkets, trivial things. And rather than do the will of God and follow Christ, you will accept these trinkets, and you will follow Satan, and you will accept his reward. And what happens is that when you do that, then you have failed for the purpose that God has placed upon you in this life. You say, well, what is basically, in a general way, my purpose in life? It is this. It is to enjoy God. It is to do the will of God. It is to acknowledge the demands that God makes upon you, and you are to live under those conditions. God commanded men everywhere to repent, and if man will not repent, then he is not doing the will of God. The Lord Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will. You and I are always doing our will. And Satan said, turn these stones into bread. The Savior said, no, I will starve before I disobey the will of God. And you and I, if things of pleasure please us, we embrace them. Satan says, good. Do you see what happens when you follow me? Now, I'll give you that. Take all the food you want. Take all the women you want. Take all the glory of the world you want. Take all the vanity. Take all the pride that you want. I'll give you all of these things. That's what life is. Don't you understand? And we understand it too well. But when we do that, the life that you live is a foil shining and illuminating the life that God intends us to live. So here is the Savior, having had no food for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan says, turn those stones into bread. The Savior says, no. And here is the rich man in Luke 16. He is faring sumptuously every day. Anything that pleases him, he takes it. And so the Savior is doing God's will, and that's what the Father wants him to do. It wasn't that way at first. At first, man had no hard thing to do. He had food to his full at his fingertips. He had a climate, an environment that was perfect. And God said, this is yours. He would not have it that way. And so God has a different purpose in life for him. But the purpose is this now. It is to follow the Lord Jesus. It is to do his will as he came from heaven to do the Father's will. And then he asked this question. He asked the question of all who think the meaning of life is self, pleasure, lust, enjoyment. The Lord Jesus said, let me ask you this question. What shall it profit you if you shall gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Gain the whole world, that's what Satan is offering you, that's what he'll give to you. If you will do his will, he will offer you anything. He doesn't offer it to you all at once. He doesn't have to. You see, all he has to do is to offer little things to people. He said to Judas Iscariot, if you'll betray Jesus, I'll give you 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. And so Judas could be won over with 30 pieces of silver. He said to Samson, he said, do what I want you to do and I'll give you Delilah. Delilah. And so he gives over himself for Delilah. David, he looks at Bathsheba, you understand. And at the same time, there are positions of authority that God forbids, but Satan says, you may have those things. Here is a vineyard that a man wants. He wants a possession in the world. Naboth says to the king, I'm not going to sell you my vineyard. God forbids it. Jezebel says, do you want that vineyard? I'll give it to you. So all you have to do to get that vineyard is to do Satan's will, to follow the dictates of Satan, and you can get that garden, you see. All you have to do is commit adultery and you can have another man's wife. All you have to do is cheat and steal and kill, and you can have many things in the world. But what happens is this. Satan will give you as little as possible, but to win your soul, he's prepared to give you the whole world. That's what he offered Christ. He said, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them, if you'll fall down and worship me. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee hence. Now think of this for a moment. Think for a moment. Had the Savior done Satan's will, there would have been no salvation for lost sinners. And what happens is that Peter, with good intentions, is trying to get Christ to do Satan's will. The Savior has just taught, I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer many things. I must be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. I must be put to death and the third day rise again. And Peter says, look, I'm rebuking you, Lord. This shall never be to you. Never. Do not speak that way. And the Savior turned on Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for thy mind is not the things that be of men, that be of God, but the things that be of men. And so here is the mind of man, that if there is any pain or sorrow in life to do the will of God, do not experience it. Turn away from it. If you are hungry, eat. If there is a woman you want, take that woman. If there is money that you want, steal it. If there is power you want, kill to get it. That's Satan's way. The Lord Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And the Father says, I love the world and I want the world redeemed. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, Father. And when Peter says, never go to Jerusalem and be rejected and be crucified, be it far from thee, Lord. And the Savior says, get thee behind me, Satan. And so often when you hear the voice of God telling you to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him, you say, that's not the voice of God, but it is the voice of God. And when you hear someone like Peter saying, take the easy path, do not suffer, do not be scorned and rejected of men, do not lay down your life, you think that that's the voice of God, but Satan said it's the voice, Christ said it's the voice of Satan. And what we do is to listen to the voice of Satan and say, God would never intend me to suffer and be rejected and to die. But that's exactly what God wanted for his Son, and that's exactly what God wants for us, if his will demands it. And so here we are, and we are going through life grasping everything we can. We are gaining everything we can. And the Savior says just this. He says, you gained ever so many things. He said, what does it profit you if, after you gain all those things, you lose your own soul? And so there is profit and there is loss. And all these things that you say are profit, and they are in one sense, why, the pleasures of sin for a season, why, that is profit, yes. But let's see the cost for all these profits. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so you've gotten all these things. Look at the gains that I have. I have this woman. She's not my wife, but I have her. And I have this money, and I had to cheat to get it. And look at my possessions. I had to steal to get them. And look at the position I have. But I had to do it at the expense of doing God's will. I see. And so look at all these gains. And God says, yes. And what is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you your own soul. And so what is your profit? You have a little time down here to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and you have eternity, and you have to answer to God. And the Savior says, what is the profit if you shall gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And so you have ever so much gain, but there is no profit to it, because to get these gains, you have in exchange given your soul. And so what kind of bargain is it? You say it's the bargain that a fool would accept. So that's what you are. So take all the pleasures of sin, everything that Satan has to offer now, but understand this, it's going to cost you your soul. And the Savior says, think. He says, what is the profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Profit and loss. Everything at the expense of your soul is not gain, it's loss. Forsake these things that Satan would give. Accept whatever God would give, no matter how painful. And then there will indeed be gain. There will be true profit. Time is gone. Let us pray. And Father, forgive us for being fools. Forgive us for living for time and setting aside eternity. Forgive us, Father, for accepting all the easy things of life, the good things of life, and escaping as often as we can in disobedience to your will, in violating the command set forth in your word. Forgive our God, we pray, and help us be wise. And when thy Son says, take up your cross and follow me, let us do it, whatever the cost might be. Give us wisdom to know what gain is and what profit is. And let the profit that is ours be eternal profit that comes through doing the will of God. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.